You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, March 3rd show. I am committed to providing you knowledge needed to be successful in every area of your finances. Knowledge is power, and that's what you'll receive from listening to the show today. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to rebroadcast. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150, or go online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, regular contributor of the show, Greg Nunn with Nunn Better Tax Resolution. And what a great time to talk about 2018 tax law. Greg, thank you so much for coming back in studio.
Thank you very much, Tina. Glad to be here.
And a little bit about Greg, for those of you that have not heard his many segments that I've had here with him on the Money Hour. Greg Ray Nunn is founder and principal of Nunn Better Tax Resolution in Redmond, Washington. The first firm of tax resolution specialists in Washington State. His passion is helping people that find themselves in a predicament with the IRS due to failing to file tax returns and or not paying what the IRS claims that they owe. He represents these troubled taxpayers vigorously before the IRS. His practice also provides tax preparation and tax planning for individuals and businesses. Gregory is a licensed CPA in the state of Washington and been in the industry for over three decades. I've been saying over three decades, a long time, so it's stacking up there, I'm sure. He is a member of the American Society of Tax Problem Solvers, the premier association of professional helping troubled taxpayers. He has received the Top Practitioner Award from the American Society and Tax Problem Solvers. Again, you know, Greg is my personal CPA for my husband and I, and also he works with a lot of troubled tax people that are in track tax issues. So he does a little bit of everything. Greg, again, thank you for coming back in studio.
Awesome, Tina.
And our topic is what's happening with these tax laws. So I thought it was really appropriate. And it's tax season. So thank you for, I mean, I had to like, please beg you to come in right now. And I know that you are extremely busy. So I really didn't have to beg you. I just called and asked and you said you would be here.
I said I'd be here.
Yeah, you're awesome. So thank you.
You bet.
So first, what do you think generally about the tax laws, Greg?
I tell you, when I saw those politicians get in front of that camera looking so pretty, saying that they were going to simplify the tax code.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
Uh-huh.
It's like the boa constrictor looking at a beautiful, tasty rodent saying, I'm not going to eat you. That rodent's going to be eaten. The tax code will not get simplified ever.
Yeah.
Here's an example of something that's in the tax code that they changed. And this sounds like simplification.
Uh-huh.
Phase in a Pacific Service business limitation in computing the qualified business income with respect to a specified service trader business the taxpayer takes into account. Only applicable percentage of qualified items of income, deductions, gain, loss, and allocable W-2 wages. Has everyone just now fallen asleep?
Uh-huh.
And it goes on. It does not get simpler.
Okay. Well, that's a good way to answer that one, Greg. So with that simplicity, let's kind of break this down a little bit, Greg. So how will the tax law impact your mortgage interest deduction? I mean, this is a big, obviously, thing, not only for me personally, because I own a home, but as well as I'm, you know, obviously do mortgages for my full-time career.
Right. And there was so much debate that went on about what to do with the home mortgage deduction.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I think it came to a pretty decent compromise.
I agree.
That it's for new mortgages now, you'll be limited to $750,000 of available interest to deduct. Mm-hmm. HELOCs or home equity lines of credit, no.
Gone.
No deduction for any of that. However, it depends on what you use those funds for.
Same with on the HELOC?
Yep.
So what are the reasons that I thought it was completely gone? So what
completely
are the reasons
gone,
that you
but
can?
You might get a HELOC to go buy an investment piece of property,
oh,
as an example.
Okay.
And then that interest would be deductible on that rental property.
So what people are used to on a HELOC is if they are usually using it to improve the home, they could use it as a write-off, but now that's been taken away.
That's correct.
Yep.
That's gone.
Okay. What about when you sell your house, Greg?
This is fantastic because there was a lot of debate about this, and fortunately, it's remained exactly the way it has been.
Okay.
So for a married couple, $1 million gain exclusion, and for single filing separate, a $500,000 gain exclusion.
And no difference in the time that they have to own
Yeah, there's the 2 to 5 year rule, so that's still in play.
Yeah, because what they were talking about increasing that time frame that they would have
they
to.
They were.
Yeah, which was actually pretty scary. So what about property taxes and sales tax deduction, Greg?
You know, this is probably one of the biggest changes that will impact a lot of people that live in high property tax states, as we've all heard, California, New York, New Jersey. I tell you, the property taxes those folks pay are outrageous. So you can only deduct up to $10,000 of property tax, income tax, sales tax, and excise tax. And so you look at that limit of 10 grand. So as soon as you hit the 10 grand, you're done deducting.
Got it.
Fortunately for us here in the state of Washington, we can still deduct our sales tax because there was some talk at what time of that expiring.
Yeah.
But it's the greater of either your sales tax or your state income tax that you can deduct. And since we fortunately do not have a state income tax, then we would deduct our sales tax.
Got it. Okay. So you've got that benefit here. Thank goodness we're not living in California.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Really bad deal. So, Greg, will you still be able to deduct your the private mortgage insurance?
You know, in the original bill that was passed and signed in December, that went away for the year 2017.
Uh-huh.
As well as the situation where if you were upside down in your mortgage. And there was a bill passed and signed, I believe it was in January, that extended those two provisions for the year 2017. So it looks like 17 will be that last year for us to be able to deduct any kind of private mortgage insurance.
Okay, which was actually, it was kind of a nice surprise they kept extending it because the idea was, you know, since it was way back in the financial crash, they just kept extending it every
they
year.
Did.
So. Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of people that would be upside down in their mortgages anymore.
Yeah, no.
Especially in, you know, a market like ours.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Greg, a big deduction for some people are the deductions for tax prep fees, tax planning, investment advisory fees, reimbursed employee expenses. So are these still around?
This, I believe, will be one of the biggest impacts for certain taxpayers that would be very, very painful.
Okay.
They're all gone. None of them are available anymore. And for it will impact primarily higher income people.
Yes.
With their investment advisory fees could be $10,000, $20,000,
$30,000.
Yeah. And as well as unreimbursed employee expenses, a lot of people will actually spend their own money to market
which
themselves.
Which you have already prepared for me because I have a lot of those. I'm, in the mortgage industry, we can't be 1099 anymore.
No.
So you're already preparing me to just, you know, be screwed. I don't know what else to say, but I want my listeners to know that I'm with you if you've got some bad news here.
I'm going
to
talk to you over the phone when I give you that number. I don't want you sitting in my office, okay?
Nice. Okay. Well, all right. So, Craig, so let's go back to the standard deduction because what we didn't go over was the actual amount that it increased.
We did
for
not.
A lot of people, that's going to be make this news a little bit better.
It will. Now, the exemption and standard deduction is something that impacts every taxpayer that files a 1040.
Yep.
What they did is they eliminated entirely the exemptions, meaning if you have four people in your family, you could deduct about $4,050 per person, so you'd have a nice little deduction there. That's all gone.
Uh-huh.
But the standard deduction for a married couple went from $12,700 for 2017.
Mm-hmm.
For 2018, it'll be $24,000.
Okay.
This dovetails right back into people who have itemized deductions, you see.
Yes.
So it'll be the higher of the standard deduction or all of your itemized deductions.
Yes.
So for some people, it could be
a very good deal. Yes.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. Just not me. All right, Greg, I'm sorry.
I understand. It's very personal.
Sometimes you can put your personal spin in there as the host of the show. So, Greg, the tax relief, you talked a little bit about this. If somebody is upside down in their home listening to the show from another area, what has changed this year for that?
Yeah, for 2018, if you sell that house during this particular year, 2018, any of that debt that you are forgiven, is going to be treated as taxable income.
Yeah, and it's surprising because actually I really feel there was a big percentage of people that didn't even know that before that, if they were to sell their home at a loss, that they were going to get 1099 income from their investor from the bank.
Exactly.
So you really want to look at that and what that, because that can be a substantial cost if
you
are $50,000 upside down on your home, and then the bank's going to 1099 that you for that $50,000, whatever your income tax bracket is, 25% tax bracket, you're going to pay that on that $50,000, correct?
Correct. That's correct.
So something to look at if you are trying to strategize and decide what to do in a situation like that. All right, Greg, the payment on alimony, can it impact a lot of taxpayers?
This is an interesting one because, I see a lot of clients that have the alimony thing, and ordinarily the person that pays the alimony can deduct it from their taxes, and the one that receives it treats it as income. Well, after this year, 2018, so starting 2019, that's not going to be the case. So if you pay that alimony, no deduction. If you receive it, no income.
Okay.
Caveat, everything's grandfathered that is in place right now.
Got it. It'd
just be new ones.
Okay.
Okay?
New ones being filed.
Yeah, new ones being filed. Kind of like the $750,000 mortgage.
Yep, versus the $1 million interest.
Versus, yeah.
Got it. Okay.
You got it.
So that can be great news for you or not.
That's correct.
Okay,
depends on which end you're on.
Exactly. What new due diligence requirements are paid taxpayers subject to?
You know, this is something that continues to grow. Congress, in their infinite wisdom, and the IRS are pushing to the tax preparer, actually more being the initial front auditor. There's certain things that the preparer has to do to prove, one, that a taxpayer qualifies for head of household, meaning that you're not married, you're single, but you have a child that you care for. That's kind of the basic one.
Okay.
Earned income credit, the tuition credit.
Okay.
And last but not least, the child tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
So the preparer has to get all the documents that prove the taxpayer can actually do this. Here's the odd thing. One, most of the taxpayers that have this kind of situation are the ones that really can't afford to pay a higher fee to have the preparer take the time to do that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's strange how they're doing that. But hey, this is just going to continue. There's going to be more of that. And for someone like myself, say I make a mistake and I don't do it properly, $500 fine for every incident.
Wow. That's why it's good always, you know, to have that expert on your side that really understands what's happening. Right now in preparing tax returns and all, I mean, you're in this right now with clients. What are you seeing?
What I'm seeing in the returns that are prepared so far for my clients, everyone will receive a benefit with this new tax law. Anywhere from, I'm seeing, $1,200 to $3,000. So that's fantastic. But I haven't gotten to some of the tax clients that I have that are a little more complicated, sophisticated, that will be more impacted in a negative way, like yourself, with those miscellaneous itemized deductions. Mm-hmm. So I know there's going to be some that are going to get hit in a negative way.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see how negative that is when you finish my tax returns, Greg.
That's correct.
Yeah. So as we're wrapping up here, what good news do you, from your being in your seat, I mean, you've said a lot of your clients, the majority are going to be able to benefit from it.
Absolutely.
What else are you seeing from this tax reform on a positive note?
I think on a positive note is that, say as an example, the exemption standard deduction thing. Mm-hmm. For some people, that really truly is a simplification of the tax code. Okay.
Yeah.
So they score one for Congress on that one. And that they left a lot of the things alone is really good.
Uh-huh.
You know, they just let like the mortgage thing stand except for the 750 limitation. So that's fantastic. The other thing is for some small business owners that have an S corporation or a sole proprietorship, they're going to be able to get a nice little extra deduction from their income, up to 20%.
Okay.
So that in itself is a pretty good deal for the small business owner.
Yeah.
Except people like myself, a CPA, attorney, other service providers like that, do not get any kind of reduction in their taxes.
Yeah.
And the reason is a good reason. Most of these people that are in those small businesses that get that benefit, they're manufacturing something or they're creating more commerce because they're buying inventory and that kind of
thing. Makes sense.
We're just providing a service, so it isn't as stimulating to the economy, if you will.
And that's the whole purpose of the reform, you know. And I'm joking aside, here I really do think it's going to be a good thing for us, you know, to really stimulate the economy and help out and make things better for the most part. So we'll see how it plays out. Greg, thank you so much for joining us in studio. I look forward to having you back soon.
Well, thank you, and I hope your listeners derive some benefit from this.
I'm sure they will. Coming up next in the Money Hour, avoid buyer's fatigue and maximize your investment. Gordy Marks with Gordy Marks Real Estate with RE/MAX right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.